It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We've been studying in the book of John. We've been in chapter 4, and we just got through looking at the woman at the well, how that Jesus offered her salvation. He offered her living water. Jesus is the living water. If we go back and study the Old Testament, we see how that there was a rock that followed the Israelites as they journeyed through the wilderness. And that rock provided the water that they needed in order to survive their journey. Well, Jesus is that water. He is the water of life. He gives life. He gives eternal life to all those who will trust Him as Lord and Savior. Well, the woman, I believe, got saved. And we read in chapter 4 and verse 27, we saw this before, how it said, upon this came His disciples after Jesus had talked to this woman, and I believe she got saved. She left a water pot, and we're going to see that in verse 28. And upon this came His disciples and marveled that He talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? Verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? We see, I believe the woman got saved. I believe that when she left the water pot, that was an indication that she was leaving the old life behind. And notice what she did. Immediately she came and she said, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? I believe that when we get saved, that is one of the first things that happens to us. We want other people to know the Messiah as she did. We want other people to know the Savior as she did. She went into the city. She went to where she was from. And she told those people who knew her, come and see this person who told me all things the things that I ever did. Verse 30 of John 4 says, then they went out of the city and came unto him. She was convincing enough that these people, these men that she spoke to, they came. And I believe there was many of the men of that area who got saved because Jesus was there and because a woman had listened to him. And this woman, I believe, had gotten saved. She knew Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. She first met him as a man who needed a drink of water. He gave her more than a drink of water. He gave her the living water of life, and that is salvation. She was on her way to heaven. Well, in verse 31, the Bible continues on in John 4, and it says, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. They knew that he needed to have some food. They had been traveling for some time, and no doubt they were hungry as well. This is another reason they knew that the Master needed to eat. But what did Jesus say in verse 32? But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. You know, I found out that being in the ministry for a few years, that there's times when I find myself, I have wanted to eat, and then I get busy for the Lord, and that just sort of just slips away, that hungering for something physical food. And I find myself, when I'm studying a lot of times, that I hunger for the Word of God. I hunger for the meat of the Word, for the food that only God can give. Now, I'm not saying that I don't eat. I'm saying that there's times when we as children of God, we do things for the Lord, and it just seems like the food is not that important, the physical food. But the food, the bread of life, is more important than the things that we have to eat in this world. And therefore, I believe that there are times when we need to be devoting more time to the Lord and letting people know that Jesus saves. Verse 33 of John chapter 4 says, therefore said the disciples one to another. Now remember, Jesus had made the comment, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And therefore, the disciples said one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? They started wondering, well, maybe he's had something to eat. And verse 34 says, Jesus saith unto them, my meat or my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Remember, I'll say this over and over again, just as the Bible teaches us. Well, this verse says Jesus came to seek and to save those who are lost. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. What was his will? What was God the Father's will? God the Father's will was to send his only begotten Son into this world, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And this is why Jesus came. He came because the Father wanted him to come and because he wanted to come. He wanted to come to seek and to save those who were lost. And that's every person in this world. Every person is lost until they come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now in verse 35 of John 4, Jesus said this, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Well, now Jesus is comparing something here physical to something spiritual. And he's talking about here that there is a harvest. He says, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. He says, look around. The fields are already to harvest. Verse 36, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying, true, one soweth and another reapeth. Well, once again, Jesus is trying to get through to these disciples that there's more to this life than the physical. There is the spiritual aspect of knowing you're on your way to heaven. And there's something about letting others know that they can be on their way to heaven. And I've heard preachers preach about this, and I've preached about it myself, about the harvest is ready, that we are to go out and we are to reap the harvest. What does that mean? That means as we look around, we see lost people in this world. Everybody who does not know Jesus Christ as Savior, they're lost. They simply do not measure up to God's standards. And we are to look around and we are to open our eyes and realize that people need the Savior. People need Jesus Christ. And if you've trusted him as your Lord and Savior, I pray for you that you will help others know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Verse 36 of John 4 once again says, and he that reapeth receiveth wages. The Bible teaches us that we will stand at the judgment seat of Christ one day to receive those things that is done in our bodies, whether they be good or bad. And once again, the Bible teaches that there will be crowns given. There will be rewards given to those individuals who do the things that God wants them to do. And one of those crowns is going to be a soul winner's crown. People who go out and tell others about Jesus and lead them to the Savior. And we need to be doing that as saved people today. And I always say this, it's not just because we're standing at the judgment seat and we're going to receive something, we're going to receive a reward. That should be the least of our expectations at this point. There's nothing wrong with expecting, but that should not be the only reason that we go out and we win souls. We need to go out and win souls because we love the lost. We love souls. We love people to come to Jesus Christ to receive him as Lord and Savior. If there are no crowns or no rewards, we should still be willing to go forth and help people to know that there's a better life coming once they've trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior. Well, verse 37 of John 4 goes on to say, and herein is that saying true. Well, let me go back and read this now. It says, he reapeth in verse 36. He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, but both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Each person has a job to do. One sows and one reaps, he's saying. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. You see, you may witness for the Lord and tell people how to be saved, and the people, or that, let's say one person, you tell about Jesus Christ and you give them the plan of salvation, they do not get saved. Well, you've sown the Word of God. And there may be another person come along and tell them the same thing that you've told them, how to go to heaven. And that person they tell, the same one you told, may oftentimes receive Jesus as Savior at that time. They're reaping what you've sown. You've sown the Word of God, and that person comes behind you and tells them how to be saved, and they receive Jesus as Savior. They are the ones who reap. They are reaping the harvest, but you've also had a part in that. Verse 38, it says, I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. He said, I've sent you forth to tell others, and you've reaped, you and other men have labored, but you're entered into their labors. We oftentimes find ourselves in a situation where someone might say to us that we're witnessing to, well, I've already heard all of that, how to go to heaven, and I've heard that, and sometimes that just stops us from going ahead and telling them again how to go to heaven. One witness is good, telling others about Jesus, but two witnesses are even better. We sometimes are that second witness. We are sometimes not only the one who sows, but we can also be the one who reaps the harvest by telling others about Jesus Christ. Don't get discouraged. Don't throw in the towel simply because you witnessed to 10 people and 10 people do not receive Jesus at that time. Don't get discouraged because you've done what you're supposed to do. You've sown the Word of God. It's like sowing in a garden. One day that garden will produce tomatoes, corn, whatever has been sown there. But what you sow is much more important than the physical things of this world. Jesus got that through to the woman at the well. He explained that to her, that God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The things of this world are going to pass away, but it's what we do for the Lord is going to last. It's that soul whom we witness to. Don't get discouraged. Keep on witnessing for the Lord. Verse 39 says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman. Now here we see the woman again who was at the well. They believed. There was many who believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. She had a testimony for Jesus Christ. Each of us need to have a testimony. We can tell others what Jesus has done for us. We can have a testimony for the Lord, telling other people how we got saved, and they can get saved the same way. This woman was telling people about Jesus Christ, and we should always tell others how they too can know Jesus Christ. Well, do you know him today as your Savior? If you've never trusted him as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says that there's something called repentance. Now, some people try to make that into a work. In other words, try to work. You can't work your way to heaven. Repentance and faith goes hand in hand. Repentance means that you've had a change of mind because you now have faith in Jesus Christ that he's able to save you. You can't save yourself, and you want Jesus to save you. You're willing now to take him as your Lord and Savior. You've changed your mind about how to get to heaven. You know you can't work your way there, but you know you need Jesus Christ. May God help you to understand that Jesus loves you today, and he wants you to have eternal life.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer. Amen.